Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday. Eric the Tech, it's Friday. It's Friday. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. He says one day, it doesn't matter what day it is. It's Friday, it's Monday, it's Saturday. They're all work days, and they are. I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining us. Have a special program lined up for all of you today. Thank you so much for your support, by the way. Your support means a lot. By the way, our servers were just getting pummeled under attack last night. Hagman Report Live, that is, last night's show was available on YouTube, but not on Hagman Report Live for a while. And then everything let up, and it was like midnight, 12:30 when it went on Hagman Report Live. So if you didn't catch yesterday's show, Tom Horn, author, and Steve Quayle, and do so. Go to Hagman Report Live. There you'll find the links to everything. But, man, it was just like, it was being on a virtual battlefield yesterday. So I want to thank you for your patience. And this is what we're up against. You know, you mentioned Soros. Oh my gosh. Go ahead. You mentioned Soros. Oh no, you can't do that. Did you happen to see that, did we play that, Eric the Tech? Did we play that clip about Soros? You know what? It's on HagmanReport.com. I don't know if it's too much to do.
We mentioned it yesterday.
Is it too much to put it up? It's a minute and 30. I don't know. Is that too much to do right now?
Cost you $100.
Oh boy. Maybe Randy Taylor. Maybe he's got the C note. I don't know. It's going to be, Cayman Island dollars. Do they have Cayman Island dollars? I don't know. All right. Here's the message today. There was a report that came out from the Insurance Institute, $1 to $2 billion in the course, between May 26th and June 8th, $1 to $2 billion worth of property damage that insurance companies have paid out or expecting to pay out. Think about that. In really a two week time period between $1 and $2 billion with a B. This is unprecedented. And maggot mayors like Ted Wheeler and, Brown and Jenny, what's that? Jenny Durkin up there, in Seattle, and Ted Wheeler in Portland, and whoever this whacked out mayor is in Minneapolis. Okay. The figures are staggering. Who's going to have to pay for this? Of course, in the end, we are. But here's the other thing real quick. And I'm going to bring Randy Taylor on. We're going to tell you about what we've been doing and what we're looking at, because there's a bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is it goes far beyond Wheeler. It goes far beyond the DAs that Soros wants to push into office and have pushed into office. By the way, he's sunk in. I mean, he's worth it, $8 billion? But he's sunk in hundreds of millions of dollars in the local DA races. There's a map with a map that's on that HagmanReport.com article. Eric the Tech is such a great guy. He is. He's got this all set up. Go ahead. And this, by the way, you go on Fox News. And Fox News, hey, I'm done. Okay. Tucker Carlson, great. Sean Hannity, yeah. And whatever. Laura Ingraham, okay. Judge Jeanine, I like. But I'm done with all these other I'm really done with them. Watch this video from Fox. I'm sure you saw it. Watch it again. Because as soon as the name George Soros is mentioned, it's like one of those, what's that commercial, E.F. Hutton? Everyone stops. Remember those? Watch how awkward and obvious this is. Go ahead and play it.
Whose lives have been destroyed by this violence. Yeah, it's so true. They represent everybody, right? Speaker Gingrich, I know you have a final thought for us.
Yeah, look, the number one problem in almost all these cities is George Soros elected left-wing, anti-police, pro-criminal district attorneys who refuse to keep people locked up. Just yesterday, they put somebody back on the street who's wanted for two different murders in New York City. You cannot solve this problem, and both Harris and Biden have talked very proudly about what they call progressive district attorneys. Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money, and they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
He paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it's verboten.
All right. We're going to. Okay. We're going to move on. A historic day at the White House. We covered it.
Awkward. Awkward. Oh, everyone's kind of like, you can't say that. And Newt's back there saying, what? Folks, I'll tell you what. This is bigger than, it's bigger than George Soros. It's bigger than Ted Wheeler. As, you know, as much of a Muppet he is, it's bigger than him. It's bigger than, Nancy, Pelosi. These are all cogs in different wheels. And, we set out to do some things, the Hagmann Report, and we have done it and we are doing it. And that's to find out what the hell's going on. What's really going on? To tell you what's really going on is my good friend, very good friend, from an undisclosed location somewhere in the tropics, I believe. I don't know. Rumored, but who knows? Randy Taylor from the Hagmann Report. Randy, how are you?
Sure.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I can see you, man. Look at you. All right, so we got some ding-dongs going on there. Is that a problem or what?
That's a speaker I was trying to get to work. It's, you know how I am with, I can infiltrate the enemy's website, but I can't operate a remote.
You know, oh my goodness, that's true. Here, allow me to do one thing for you. Don't say a word because I don't want you, because people just don't say a word. I'm going to do one thing for you.
Okay. Oh my God.
Okay. Folks, that's an inside joke between us. There we go. I
respect the bean.
Respect the bean. For those listening on Global Star, I just turned the coffee cup around from the Hagmann coffee, the front of the cup to the back of the cup to I need the bean. And that's because of a private joke. Okay. All right. Glenn Beck came out, by the way. I don't know. Did you see that video? Were you able to see that or not?
Which one?
The one we just played.
Yes, I did watch it.
All right.
Awkward, and then there was another, and then I don't know if you saw Harris Faulkner with her explanation of events.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I can't even play that because that's just, that's insulting. That's insulting to me.
She's been like going through some sort of change.
De-change?
Yeah. Harris Faulkner's always been fairly conservative, fairly pro-Trump, and kind of stayed away from the racial issues. And I noticed after the Jacob Blake incident, we'll call it incident, her attitude seemed to change a little bit.
Jacob Blake, the rapist, right? The guy that raped the girl. Right. Okay, yeah, that one, the rapist.
That's the one, yeah, the one that Kamala Harris chooses to congratulate and to try and make a hero out of.
That's right, and that's the one that his name appeared on an NFL helmet, and You'll have to excuse me. I'm actually grooming myself here like a cat. All right. So okay. Yeah, that one. Yeah. Maybe,
which in my opinion, you know, the only person that did anything wrong in that arrest was Jacob Blake. You know, when the police tell you to stop,
yep,
they tell you to freeze, do it.
That's right.
That's a really good way to not get hurt. You know, and to sit there and get an officer in a headlock. Make them to where they have to tase you. I saw a photograph this last week, which, once again, photographs can be doctored, but it shows something in his belt.
Yeah,
we do know that there was a knife present on the scene. Police reports are saying that it was in the van. Okay, great. If he was going for the van and going for the knife, I'm sorry, he deserved to be shot. That's plain and simple.
Well, yeah.
You don't get a pass to avoid arrest or to resist with or without violence because of your skin color.
Correct.
It's that simple. And that's respectful of all races, all cultures. The guy with the gun makes the rules.
Yep. And you know, it's not just, I mean, the numbers don't show that blacks get black Americans, black people. I refuse to call them African Americans because there's no connection to Africa any more than I'm a European American. All right, so they're black people. I'm a white person. They're black. I'm white. It's just that simple. You got male. You got female. You got black. You got white. You got Hispanic. You got where? But it's just that simple. But so anyway. There's really no information to show that, at least that I've seen from the, the justice or the statistics from the Justice Department that there's an inordinate number of blacks who have been killed by police per capita. What's that?
Far more whites right. are killed by the police.
Right. Now,
you could make a theoretical adjustment because the black population is, what, 14% of the United States?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, you know, but at that point, we're splitting hairs because at the end of the day, every one of these where someone gets shot, they were resisting arrest.
Right. Well, but let me add, because resisting arrest, I might resist arrest for something. Okay. If they're trying to get me out of a school board meeting, for example, as we saw with, the gentleman from South Dakota it was South Dakota. Because I wasn't wearing a mask and, I might resist. Okay, so
but are you going to put a police officer in a headlock?
No, of course not. So there's, I guess maybe we shouldn't take it to different levels of resistance, but I kind of do in a sense. The context is important to me. All right, why are the police there? Are the police there because you just raped a girl, or are the police there because you're not wearing a mask? I think that there's a difference there. So anyway.
Yeah, the qualifications going into that scenario were definitely different.
Exactly.
This guy's got a rap sheet. Oh, you know, you go back, every one of these people have got rap sheets. When the police go into a situation like that, I'll be honest with you, Doug, I couldn't be a police officer. I would just find it too difficult that these people were tying their hands. We're telling them this is how you will do your job regardless of the circumstances. And right. Every time a police officer walks into a situation, the circumstances are different. There's no two that are exactly alike. And I just don't think that the manual covers it. And I go back and I analyze every one of these videos where these guys get shot. Or they get abused by the police officer. In every one of them, They resisted arrest. That is the one thing that is consistent across all of them. They resisted arrest.
Right.
When you resist arrest, you put yourself in a different position. That police officer wants to go home that night.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They don't, you know, they don't, especially the Jacob Blake one is the worst call that a police officer goes on, which is a domestic. You ask any cop, he'd rather go out to a bank robbery.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knows what the game is at that point. He knows these are the bad guys that probably aren't. I'm probably going to have to shoot somebody. But when you go into a domestic, they don't know the level of the altercation. They don't know. Going in, the most they can do is try and get some background on the way to the scene of who's there. And if it comes back that this person is violent, this person is a sexual predator, this person, you know, is bad news or has had weapons charges in the past, the police officer has to go into that situation in a different mindset than just showing up, you know, or meeting with you on a traffic stop. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A domestic, and I've known police officers all my life, that is the worst call because everything is unpredictable.
Yeah, I would put that up there with traffic stops, but domestics definitely, because in the end, both, by the way, anyone there could turn on you and often do.
And once they turn on you, a lot of times the victim, the wife,
yep.
will jump in on the officer too.
Oh, yeah.
That's not an easy situation. There's different levels of police abuse. I remember up in Toronto, there was a thing where someone was in a streetcar. This is a few years back. They couldn't get the kid out of the streetcar, so the police officer shot the kid like 9 times. That's blatant abuse. I got that. And that police officer was arrested. That police officer was charged. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But that's totally different than what I saw with the Jacob Blake video.
Right.
That's totally different what I see in all these videos. And even back to Gordon, right? Was it Gordon, the guy who had the officer hold him down? The guy that started all of this.
So which city? What are you talking about? What year?
I think it was Minneapolis.
George Floyd?
Yeah, Floyd. That's it. George Floyd.
Okay. Gordon.
Sorry.
Where the hell did that come from? All right.
But George Floyd, if he, you know, they finally came back with the toxicology report that the guy died of a heart attack.
Well, from fentanyl and other drug
because
abuse.
Because of the drugs in right. the system. Right. You know, no one sat there and really analyzed it and said, the guy's sitting there going, I can't breathe. Okay, I can't breathe. Well, if you can't breathe, you shouldn't be able to talk.
Yes, correct.
That's my, and given the choice, I think I'm going to breathe before I'm going to be talking.
And by the way,
that guy was chattering away till he died.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Every one of these is absolutely ridiculous. And then what we just saw with the two deputies being shot at in Los Angeles is horrific. And nobody, the one that killed me was Al Sharpton coming out and saying that it was staged to make Black Lives Matter look bad. And I don't know if you caught that blurb.
No, I don't listen to Al Sharpton as much as I...
He was on social media, but it was like that was staged.
Right.
Really? You know, these people are out here trying to make a living. They want to go home at night. If they want to talk to you, do what you're told. I don't, you know what? This isn't 1920. This isn't 1950. This isn't even 1970. Talk to the officer. Don't fight with them. You fight with the cops, you're going to get hurt. You play stupid games, win stupid prizes. How hard is that to understand? Well, and the thing is, what's happening right now, Doug, they're encouraging these people to act this way.
Well, yeah, because in my view, they're expendable.
Well, that, and it's a moneymaker. Like the Floyd family made, what, $15 million?
How quick was that settlement made? I mean, my goodness, usually they're years and years and years, but that was paid out pretty quick.
This is, I'm talking about just the GoFundMe page.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it was a moneymaker and people looking for notoriety. The point is, it can go from a butt whipping to a shooting really quick.
That's true.
You know, but no one gets a pass, nor do they deserve a pass because of their skin color.
I agree. Now here's the other side of this equation here. We have the incidents, we have the people who are, we have Black Lives Matter, we've got Antifa, we got the agitators. Now on the other side of the coin, and I'll show you this, you can go back to the McCloskeys in St. Louis, you know, the iconic picture now of the man holding the AR and the woman holding the pistol. They're being prosecuted, of course, by a Soros-appointed Minneapolis circuit attorney, equivalent to a DA.
Wait a minute. A St. Louis couple is being prosecuted by a Minneapolis attorney.
I'm sorry. Wherever they were at, St. Louis?
St. Louis.
Okay.
Because I understood that if the prosecutor was going to take up the charges, the lieutenant governor said that a pardon would be issued.
Right, but there's no guarantee because he's up for re-election too. So, but even so, you should never, in my view, they're prosecuting the wrong people. Okay, we're starting to see things happen where all of the prosecutors that George Soros put in. Do we have that map handy? It's on HagmanReport.com. Can we put that up there? It shows the number of races with the DAs. I don't know, but what's happening now is the McCloskeys came out with weapons, and they're being prosecuted now by the DA, by the circuit attorney, equivalent to a DA. There's a guy in I just talked to Brandon House today. And on his website, he's got a link to a guy. I think it's in Minneapolis. It's somewhere in the Midwest, who just simply appeared in his house with a shotgun when Black Lives Matter was outside.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Do you happen to see that? Okay. So he's getting prosecuted.
For defending his property.
I mean, he didn't even really point the gun at anybody. He just had made people aware that he had a gun. You know what? Here's the thing, okay? I'm getting so sick and tired, and I told Brandon House this, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell America this. If it has to be me that fires the first shot to start the second Civil War / American Revolution, then so be it. But I'm getting really sick and damn tired of being told, no, you got to accept this. No, you know, you can't defend yourself. The hell I can't defend myself. And my gosh, I'm going to defend myself, my family and those around me, my property, my business. I will defend myself. And you can't, you know what? You want to come after me? You want to do it? Let's go. And if I have to fire the first shot to start this thing off, I'm okay with that. Anyone have a problem?
So be it.
I'm done.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, that the reason we're having these race problems goes back to Obama and Eric Holder.
And this is why you're here. And yes.
This is the primary. We started out a little while back, a couple months ago, and our focus was going to be Antifa. And the more that we dug, the more that I dug and looking around on open source information and also going into the dark web, Antifa, and this is just my opinion, Antifa is more of a front for what's going on. They're a useful tool of Black Lives Matter. And I'm going to say some other people. I'm going to list off a few people here, a few things that should be of concern. Now, this is open source material, and the open source is simply newspaper articles, things that are available online. You don't have to be a detective to find this stuff. You just need to put the right search terms in. I'm going to go back to 2005 because that's one of the older ones that I saw. Before Obama ever ran for office in the 2000s, so that would have been 2007 is when he was doing his campaigning to take office in 2008. He went and met, and this was in Chicago, with Louis Farrakhan. Okay, Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan. Now, this is a junior senator that honestly we've, at that point in time, I knew little to nothing about the guy. If I heard his name one time in all those years, I'd be surprised. And then all of a sudden, this guy is, you know, a front runner. And I correctly labeled him as a Manchurian candidate. Shows up, he has lousy credentials. It's still up for debate with a lot of people. I say that he was born in Kenya. I say that he was made president illegally, but that makes me a birther, and you know how that goes. I'm going to say that because that's what I believe. I still don't believe. I know they said, well, we produced his birth certificate. No, you produced a document that was generated by a company like ChoicePoint. I know this because in lieu of being able to get my hands on my original birth certificate, I phoned one of these companies, gave them some information. Next thing you knew, I had a birth certificate in the mail on green and white dot matrix paper, which is exactly what Obama's birth certificate is printed on. Okay, so as far as I'm concerned, he still hasn't produced a valid birth certificate. Now, Obama was very careful to surround himself with people in his administration, Lynch, Holder, that were very pro-black, anti-white, very anti-USA. If you go back and you just read and go all the way back to Obama with Bill Ayers in the Weather Underground. Anti-American. And they talked about there if people had to be sacrificed to further their cause. You know, I look at all these things, fake, you know, unproven birth certificate, known terrorist group and all that. And I'm like, how did this guy get elected president? Well, we know why, because everybody hated George Bush so much at that point that Bozo the Clown could have run for office. But Bush had soured everybody against the Republican Party. So when they went up against, who was it, Palin and McCain. There's a pair. Palin and McCain. We didn't stand a chance.
Okay, and as you're talking, and you've got the floor, but folks, as you hear this, I'm trying to articulate this in the proper fashion. As you hear, as Randy Taylor takes you through this, go back to or go to today, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, to be more precise, not be Joe Biden-like. Listen to what Randy Taylor's got to say. Because, and then flip the script and keep that in the back of your mind. You've got the floor. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted,
by all means.
But keep that in the back of your mind, because this is not Democrat v. Republican. This is bigger than that. But it is that, but it's more than that. So go ahead, Randy Taylor.
It's much bigger than that, and this has been in play for a long time. This was in play. What you're seeing today was in play before Barack Hussein Obama became president. Okay? And what he did, keep this in mind. I'm going to give you some names here very quick so that as we're talking, this is a list of the usual, what I'm going to call what I see as the usual suspects here. This is what I see going on in the background. Antifa is a great distraction for these people. They're burning down cities. They're on the news every night. But nobody's talking about all the other things that are going behind the scenes, who's interlaced and where this cancer goes. So you have Barack Hussein Obama and Bill Ayers, okay, just coming up, Ayers grooming this guy, okay, the Weather Underground. I mean, these are, it's a terrorist group, okay, and he became president. Now, Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, that's a group that cannot be underestimated. Law enforcement should never underestimate these guys. That ties into Obama, Louis Farrakhan. Now you've got Black Lives Matter. And it's one of those articles that I gave you. BLM and Farrakhan. You have ties between Louis Farrakhan and Black Lives Matter.
Yep.
Okay. Both have hatred of Jews, the anti-Semitic. But listen, they don't like white people either. So it's not just Jews. Plain and simple. And if you haven't figured out that Black Lives Matter doesn't like white people, flip on the news, okay? They don't like white people. In fact, I saw an ad.
Wait a second. Black Lives Matter is full of white people.
Yeah,
and by the way, I almost called you Louis Farrakhan, but anyway,
like I said, these are the useful idiots.
Okay,
I'm telling you, the white people are such a distraction, and that is one of the reasons why Black Lives Matter has so much sympathy. Okay, because parents, these liberal parents, liberal left, they look out there and go, "Oh, that could be my kid. I'd be so proud of him out there defending the black people." Okay, that's cool and that's noble. But he's being used. The kids are being used out here. This is a huge distraction to draw away from Black Lives Matter, Farrakhan. Farrakhan's ties to Iran. You also have, and nobody really is paying any attention to this, China and Iran are in bed together. Absolutely in bed together. Do you think our sanctions are that China's, do you think that they're abiding by them?
I'm trying.
Well, they just joined up because, what is it? Their focus is on trade, politics, culture, and security. Now, that's in an article that was on August 9th, okay? And it goes into detail about China and Iran. I don't care what all the intelligence experts in the world say, or especially ones here in the U.S., China is a bigger threat than Russia will ever be. Okay? One of the reasons that they hate Russia is because, the main reason is because Russia likes Donald Trump. There is nowhere, anywhere in the world that says Russia can't have an opinion and have a preferred candidate to run the United States. It's just like if we were looking at Russia and you had Putin and Fred, okay, we are allowed as a country to go, wow, we'd really prefer to have this guy. And Lord knows, we, for many decades, especially since the CIA was founded, we've influenced elections, thrown elections, you know, so for us to bark about a few social media posts, and because Russia has some bots on Twitter that are pro-Trump, I don't have a problem with that. Okay, they're allowed to have an opinion. And if the world is going to be a quieter place because Donald Trump's in office and Russia feels that way, Russia has a right to express that publicly in whatever manner they choose to do so. Are they interfering in the elections? When you say election interference to me, that means somebody is messing with the machines. That's what interference election means to me. But because there's a bot on Twitter that says, go Trump, I'm sorry, that's not election interference in my humble opinion. And if you want to get into election interference, China is a far bigger violator and a threat to our democratic process than anyone, because the entire left, the entire media establishment, are in bed with China.
And I believe China wants Biden in. And I think China is a huge threat, obviously. So, yes, I agree with you 100%. Keep going, man. I love it. You're doing well.
What I was looking at is you start tying these people together, Obama, BLM, Farrakhan. Please note, up in Minneapolis, happens to be in the state of Minnesota, where Keith Ellison is the DOJ. He's the Department of Justice, the AG in Minnesota. Okay? This is also where that motor mouth Ilhan Omar is out of. This is like Chicago. This is a Democratic stronghold. And this is where the problems are coming from. Your Seattles. You notice this is particular cities. They've got everybody on the payroll. And I'll tell you right now, Ellison has been tied to Farrakhan. He's had meetings with him. In fact, Dershowitz said, the lawyer, that if he had known that Ellison and Farrakhan had been hanging out together, he would not have helped Ellison in any way. See, the DNC's deputy chairman hasn't told the full story. He'll never tell the full story. Keith Ellison, okay, is about as anti-democratic, anti-American as you can get. And the thing is, he has the power to do it and get away with it. Okay? You're the AG of the state. Now, do you think, like Ilhan Omar, he would never lay a charge against her for any reason? When we were doing the Al-Qaeda research overseas, and as we were watching that, you know, a decade ago, so many of the people that we were finding in the African Horn, over there in Africa, the dead bodies, the people that were being taken prisoner, were from Minneapolis, Somalis.
That's right.
They were mopping them up in the mosque, packing them up, shipping them overseas to be Al-Qaeda soldiers. This is back when Ellison was the congressional rep for that area, the seat that Ilhan Omar sits on now. See, we've got a real problem there. Until you get Ellison out, we're going to continually have problems in what do they call it, the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. You're going to have problems there until Ellison's gone from the state. Ellison, this is the guy, remember, that swore in office on the Quran.
And again, I was speaking with Brandon House earlier today. I think you and I proved this preponderance of evidence standards. Mosques in inner cities are armories. Can I say that? Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Absolutely.
You want to know where the bullets maybe are, or the ammunition is? You want to know where the military grade hardware is?
Yeah, it's. And why? My question is, I know which one you're talking about. You took me there. Why did the city sell that armory to these people? I remember sitting in the car with you that day. This was 10 years ago, 12 years ago. I was sitting in the car with you, and you were explaining this to me, and I was like, it was almost like you were making it up. I was like, really? No, really? You know how you just hear something that flabbergasts you so much, and I'm going, wow. Yeah, the city sold this mosque, this group, the city's armory. Go figure that one out.
And I went and got the county records of deed transfer, of title transfer, along with the tax map. And so you take, we'll say, a parcel of land if this is a parcel, one parcel of land, and then you have another parcel over here and then over here, all of a sudden, so this is the mosque in one sense. And here's a house and here another house, and all these houses around this specific mosque, that this whole block, these are being purchased by, Muslims.
Oh yeah. Remember, Doug, remember down in Orlando when we went to the,
yes, you took me there.
Yeah. And we noticed as we went around there that the entire neighborhood had become Muslim.
Yep.
Everything within that we could see 4 to 6 blocks of that mosque were Muslims. They bought the place out. They do that everywhere. That's U.S. and Canada.
And what I remember, and I think you were with me, I don't know, so many times, but at the perimeter of these areas, you'll have people, you'll have watchmen.
Up on the roof with cell phones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They always knew we were coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took some effort to get in there unseen, and it was hard to do. Usually I had to go through first and we had to spot who was on the roofs and then try and figure out a route in to where maybe they would miss us or to where there was something else going on that they would be distracted by. Because amazingly, a lot of the lookouts were just kids.
Right.
These were just kids with cell phones.
And when I say something else going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Anyway, the other thing, Obama was very careful with Eric Holder to make sure that there was a huge racial divide by the time he left office. And he did that, one, as prep for what's going on now, but secondly, so he'd never be brought up on charges. Okay? There's already that touchy area with everyone, both sides of the aisle, about Obama being the first black president and how crazy it would be if the United States justice system charged him with a crime, being he was our first black president and all that. So that was, he completely padded that so that would never happen. Plus, he set it up. I mean, think about it. Holder and Obama, every time there was an incident, I don't care how small it was, when they decided to blow it up, they went after the police departments. They weren't interested in, you know, even saying this is what happened. It was very one-sided, and automatically the initial press reports and the initial media releases were policeman bad, criminal good, criminal mistreated. Think about it. This, all the things we're seeing today was put in play way back under Obama. And I want you to play with another little thought in your mind. What would have happened with Obama's original game plan and the way things are today under President Trump? What would have happened if Hillary had gotten into office? Where would we be right now? In regard to this racial divide, that's a thought that should keep you awake at night.
You want to game that out for me?
What's that?
You want to game that out? Tell me. I mean, where do you think we'd be?
I think that a good portion of your taxes would probably be going to reparations by now. I'm serious. The problem with the left, this is what killed me with the Biden candidacy and when he was searching for a vice president. It wasn't, let's find somebody that's qualified. That subject never came up. There were two things they wanted. She had to be female and she had to be black. What kind of premise is that?
Right.
Not qualified. Not worried. What they were going, it was like, could have had a second grade education, you know, child molester. It doesn't matter as long as they're black and it's a female. I'm sorry. We shouldn't run our country like that. It should always be who's qualified in the choice of the people. And Kamala Harris is not qualified. One, I don't think she meets the qualifications.
Correct.
Once again, because of birth. Okay. But we're sitting here looking at somebody that goes to the hospital bed of a felon and treats him like a hero. But now that falls right in line. Hey, that's just like with Obama when that when he had the Taliban guy, you know, and was making a hero out of him.
Oh yes.
Yeah, the guy that snuck off base, got a bunch of people killed looking for him.
Yeah.
And then they bring him back, and you know, he's like some kind of hero. And then just some of the stupid things we did, trading prisoners and everything you look at that Obama did, it wasn't pro-USA. And then, the icing on the cake, before his presidency is over, he makes sure that $1.8 billion in cash makes it to Iran. $1.8 billion. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of untraceable money. So, when I say Obama, Louis Farrakhan, Black Lives Matter, Keith Ellison, Iran, and China. These people, all this falls into place. This has been scattered. And like I said, the ones that I'm quoting today is open source. And I only went back to 2005. Now I'm going to go back further. Okay, we'll talk about that on the next show. But this is enough to raise concern. And this is enough to open, in my opinion, you should be able to open your eyes and see everything that's going on today was engineered years ago.
It was.
And when they say, oh, the NFL is giving $250 million to this, you know, Black Lives Matter. There's not like a Black Lives Matter corporate office somewhere that the check sent to. There are so many organizations, such intertwining. And the thing that really puts Obama on the hook is not just his behavior in office, it's his behavior out of office. What ex-president sets up an office 8 blocks from the White House and sits there and spawns hatred towards the sitting president? Who does that? George Bush doesn't do it. Clinton didn't do it. Well, they all were off doing their criminal activities, I'm sure. We know Clinton. But they weren't bashing current presidents. Now, everybody is on board bashing Trump. But this goes back to Obama. And now, yesterday, I believe I sent this article to you about Alicia Garza, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, is teaming up with a group called Chinese Progressive Association.
Right.
A known communist group, a communist supporting group, and tied right back to the Communist Party. The more we dig, the more names we're going to be able to add on this list. Remember the chart I was talking about that we're working on?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous for me to put that chart in front of you because that chart changes the more we dig.
That's true.
And I'm going to tell you, Antifa is a distraction. Antifa are useful idiots. This is much deeper, much bigger. Everybody talks about Soros. Soros is just one piece of a gigantic pie here.
Right, yes. But I do find it, interesting how no one would talk about him. And if they won't talk about him, most assuredly they're not going to talk about the people who control him and are more powerful than he is, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I would love to just see, when they say we wrote a check to Black Lives Matter, I would really like to see where it really went.
What account?
Because we're talking hundreds of millions. We're actually talking billions of dollars if you start looking at the corporate sponsorship of Black Lives Matter.
True.
And corporate's obviously not going to, you know, go out there and say, we support Antifa. They're not going to do that. But they're easy to say, we support Black Lives Matter. And I saw a commercial yesterday that said, and it really upset me, it said, all lives don't matter until Black Lives Matter. What? This is a commercial on television. Yeah.
What? I know. What does that even mean?
I'm sitting here and I'm going, how can that? You can't even equate that. You can't even explain what you just said.
Right.
You know, it defies logic. That statement defies logic. And when I look at the whole thing, all of it, as far as my opinion, defies logic. But what we're seeing is Black Lives Matter is the good guys. Antifa, yeah, they're just so mixed up kids. But if there is going to be a bad guy here, they're going to hang it on Antifa.
Right.
Okay. Black Lives Matter, though, is the driving force behind all of it. Nobody is writing checks publicly and making a big deal and going, hey, we're going to write this to Antifa. No. And this is the hardest part of this equation is got to find a way to track the funds from Black Lives Matter to Antifa. That's like when they post in the back of these things that, you know, we need volunteers and it pays $20 an hour.
Right.
You know, I would really love to see exactly where that money comes from. You know, I know that there's broken up groups and they use front companies and all that. I don't know yet how to do it, but there's a way to trace it. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
There is one way, and I haven't talked to you about this. There is one way, and it's going to take a little bit of money, a little bit of finesse, but we can do it.
That's the issue. That's the issue, though, is the funding to try and do this, because this is what I'm talking about here is really critical information as far as exposing these people.
That's right. This
is something that every American needs to know. This should be headline news, especially when your cities are burning, people are getting beat up. Mm-hmm. You know, they walk into restaurants, beat people up. They sit there, jump on a car, flatten the guy's tires, and they get upset when he hits a protester on the way out. Think about this. If you were with your family, you'd be in danger. You're in danger. And you shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that.
That's
so
right.
We need to find out the cash flow. And I know everybody likes to say, George Soros. If it was that obvious, he'd be in jail.
Correct.
Okay? So let's not sit there and just pin everything on that donkey. Okay? There's a lot more donkeys here. Okay? And that's the roadblock I'm up against right now, Doug.
All right. Folks, Randy Taylor, analyst with the Hagmann Report, with us for about how many more minutes? About 5 more minutes? 5 minutes. We got about 5 minutes left. And you mentioned this. I just want to re-mention because people, I think this might have missed their radar. The Black Futures Lab, a venture of Black Lives Matter founder Alicia Garza, is sponsored by the Chinese Progressive Association, CPA, okay, which works for the communist government, Chinese government to push an agenda in the United States. So, I mean, think about that. Just think about how wrong that is. I don't think we have to go that far, but go ahead.
Do a reverse role, Doug. What if Ivanka Trump was going to join forces with a Russian something? Man, they'd be beating her to death.
Yeah.
But they put this in the paper, they don't think twice about it. You know, it's like they don't even try the fact that you're trying to bring communism into the United States. And I don't understand it because I know when I was in the military, we were trained to kill communists. Yep. Now they're in the ballot box? What is going on here, people? Man, we were asleep for years. This is out of control. And it's going to be, hundreds of times harder now to regain any footing in this country as far as making things somewhat normal again to where we're a free republic. Because people don't realize it. We're not a free republic at this point. We have a president that wants a free republic, but they're fighting him tooth and nail. Every time, every day, they're fighting with the president. And it's because he's a threat to the establishment. Just like John F. Kennedy was a threat to the establishment. Okay? You're seeing an incarnation of John F. Kennedy. And forget the Democrat-Republican aspect, okay? We're talking about being a threat to the establishment, not feeding the globalist machine as it wants to be fed.
Right.
And that's where we're at with this man. Is Donald Trump perfect? Nope. I wouldn't want to be around him if he was. I like him because he's a human being. He believes in his country. He gave up a lavish lifestyle to do this in his lifetime. You know, everybody wants to have a legacy. Everybody wants to go out knowing they did everything they could to make the world a better place around them. And that's where he's at. And it's a very lonely job. This is so important. And I know we have a lot of people who think that it's going to be a landslide. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's not. The left. See, we have to make Donald Trump win so greatly, bigly, we'll say. He has to win so bigly that even with their manipulation, cheating, and fraud behind the scenes, that he still beats them.
Right. And
it has to be that big of a victory, because if it's close, Lord knows what happens. In fact, somebody said Nancy Pelosi could be president.
Yes.
I'll do the time.
We'll leave it there.
That's nuts. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, please, we thank you for your support. We can't do this without you. I can't stress that enough. We're part of one great big team here. And the things that we need to do, and we've got people on the ground, we've got a lot going on. The funding is very important here. And I think that we're at the tip of the iceberg. And what I'm trying to do is get under the water and see what that iceberg's made of. Right now, I'm just scratching the tip with what I laid out today. And it's going to upset some people because they've successfully had Antifa being the bad guys. Now, Antifa's just the operational arm of a much bigger bad guy organization. And that's what we're going to keep working on. So please support the Hagman Show. Head over to the donate button. Oh, and buy some of the coffee that Doug has, little pretty little pictures of coffee being on his cup. Because that goes to helping children. There's way too many children missing. Way too many children in our country being sexually abused here and around the world. And our job as Christians and as parents and adults is to protect these kids.
Amen. Randy Taylor, I want to say thank you so much. God bless you, my friend. I'll be talking to you here shortly. We'll have you back. And that was a whole lot of information. God bless you and give my best to Dixie.
Very good. Have a good weekend, sir.
All right. Folks, that was Randy Taylor, an analyst from HagmanReport.com. Folks, please support us. As you can see, we're more than a broadcast. We do run an investigative operation. He's one of the best, if not the best, I've ever worked with, Randy Taylor. He'll be right back.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday, the 18th day of September. September more than half over. Less than 50 days to the presidential election. Things are going to get really bad. Things are bad, but things are going to get much worse, I have a feeling, during the next 50 days. And then beyond that, 60. And who knows? But I'll tell you what, the enemy is inside the gates, and they are banging and pushing Austin Brower from Health Masters coming up just momentarily. Folks, you know, my wife's niece came to us the other, it was a day this week, and she had a stack of credit card bills that she wanted to get a bank loan for, and instead we directed her to Lightstream, lightstream.com/Hagman. Folks, and I'm being very serious about this, she owed pretty close to $9,000 on her credit cards, and her payments were very oppressive. She's a registered nurse, and she makes some money, but man, that's a lot of payments. You don't need to be an expert to know that consolidating credit card debt into one low fixed rate can save you money. Lightstream's fixed rate credit card consolidation loans start at 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average credit interest card interest rate of over 19% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. And the application is 100% online, and you can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. And she got hers the next day. Folks, here's how to take advantage of this wonderful offer. Our listeners and viewers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. That's HAGMANN, Hagman. Folks, this is subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. I guarantee it. All right. Now, Austin Brower, people saying, hey, is Austin coming on Friday? Is Austin coming on Friday? I just said, I don't know. He might be busy. Leave me alone. We got to have Austin. He's on. Austin's got to come on. I said, you know, man, I don't know where he's at, but he might be fishing. He might be out there, you know, who knows? Well, Austin Brower is with me right now. Healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com, if you haven't done so already. And this is something, if you saw that piece with Dr. Graves and others as well, this is something you need to pay attention to. Nutritional supplements. Make sure you bolster your immune system with quality supplements. Do so from Health Masters, healthmasters.com. There it is right there on your screen. Go to healthmasters.com and use HR5 as a promo code, coupon code that is. And as you go through the product selection at healthmasters.com, note their ultimate multiple vitamin, which it's a nutritional supplement that's in capsule, it's in powder form, different forms. Oh my goodness, it's great. The vitamin B, vitamin C, D3, K2. I believe I said that correctly. Magnesium. Oh, magnesium brain food. My goodness, great stuff. Look at this product of the week. Look at that. It's zinc. That's right. There it is. Zinc. Huh. Wonder what zinc would be good for. Yeah, I won't say it, you know. And by the way, when you're there, click on the radio show for the Ted and Austin Brower show, because they've got a great show, just a fantastic show. I put up at HagmanReportLive.com. I connected to a show from September 3rd. This is last week. Folks, healthmasters.com, that's the place to go and listen as well to the radio show. Austin, how are you, sir?
Doug, I'm blessed as always. Great to be on your show. It's I had to take a little hiatus last week. Ted covered for the show, which is funny because he used to do your show all the time. And then I kind of started doing the show more, and we've just had a great response with both of us on there. But, yeah, I had to go to the beach. I had to cut loose for a little bit, take the kids out. Just everything that's been going on has been one of those things. Every now and then you got to take a day off or take 2 days off. But I was not exempt from getting a large amount of flack from numerous people every time I went somewhere for not wearing a mask or not complying with some type of officially mandated county rule. So, of course, I had numerous conflicts, but you pretty much know the story at the end of all those. They're never ending. And, you know, I've encouraged a lot of people is that this isn't going to stop.
Did you take anyone down? I just have to ask you.
I try to actively avoid physical altercations nowadays. You know, I'm in my 30s. I'd prefer not to have any type of lawsuits or deal with those anymore. I have kids, I have family, I have a business. So I do try to actively walk away from a lot of that unless people either grab me or try to strike first, then all the bets are off the table. But no, I didn't have any of those. Just a lot of conflicts with people constantly trying to force masks. And the thing I've told a lot of people, as I said, listen, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. But don't tell me to wear a mask because you're mad that you are wearing a mask. If you will feel like you really need to wear one, wear one. If you don't feel like you need to wear one, don't wear one. We already know that there's no effectiveness whatsoever when it comes to a COVID-19 virus as far as the small particle size of the virus passing through a cloth or through a net gaiter. I said, there's none. There's zero. There's zero scientific evidence you can show me that shows its effectiveness. In fact, there's numerous articles that we have posted on the website from healthmasters.com going all the way back to 2015, and I think one from 2012, that discuss how wearing a mask improperly and not changing it on a regular basis and touching it with your hands and allowing it to get moist and build up bacteria actually has negative health effects on your body. So that's pretty much my stance on that. But one thing I wanted to go full speed ahead in here today, and I'm sure you've seen some of this week, and I really want to kind of tie all the pieces of the puzzle on my end together. There's been a lot of people asking me, you know, the topic of the day, the topic of the week, the topic of the month, is this all, you know, election circus that we're constantly witnessing. And people are going, well, Trump's going to win this or Biden's going to do this. And, you know, pretty much I think a large percentage of the population has realized, even Democrats have realized, he's a clown. He's a legitimate clown. I'm surprised they haven't put a fake, you know, clown wig on him and a big red nose ball on him yet, just because that's pretty much what he is. He's just a figurehead in order to incite whatever the agenda is they're pushing. Now, one thing that I saw, I'm sure you probably saw this at the beginning of the week, it was Michael Caputo, who is basically the Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs and HHS in the Trump administration. And, you know, he came out on a live stream last week or the beginning of this week and said that he urges everybody to load up on ammunition in preparation for a violent left-wing rebellion if the president wins re-election. And they've now said that he's decided to take a leave of absence to focus on his health and well-being of the family. Mr. Caputo will be on leave for the next 60 days. Now, what's interesting about this is we now have an article from Breitbart that just came out 2 days ago. And it goes on here and it says, under the guise of seeking to prevent a constitutional crisis, a massive network of well-funded left-wing activists and progressive groups are training, organizing, and planning to mobilize millions of Americans should President Trump contest the election results and refuse to concede. Now, when I first saw this article, it already started to kind of, you know, ring some bells. And I was like, okay, we got to put some pieces of the puzzle together because I pretty much am starting to see where this is going to go. And, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but I've been around this enough and long enough and researched this enough to pretty much realize where this is happening. They said over 80 advocacy groups, organizations have joined in a broad coalition calling itself Protect the Results, claiming they cannot ignore the threat that Trump poses to our democracy and peaceful transition of power. First off, we're a constitutional republic, which is going to clarify that, and seeking to protect election results by using its millions of members, the coalition calls to take coordinated action and prepare for a potential post-election crisis. Both funding of the coalition are part of a Soros-funded Democracy Alliance, the largest network of donors dedicated to building the progressive movement in the United States. Other Soros-funded coalition groups, including MoveOn.org, Women's March, the Working Families Party, and the Center for Popular Democracy, a network with over 50 local partners in 32 states. Now, one thing they said here, and the executive director of Color of Change, PAC, said, our resistance is key in protecting the outcome of this election. We will mobilize to safeguard black people from the chaos and pain that will ensue should Trump choose to disregard reality in November. Another article, or another one here from Indivisible Sonoma County, goes on to say, and I quote, Donald Trump only won the 2016 election by cheating. That's the only way he's going to end this one. On November 3rd, after you vote, get in the streets immediately. Donald Trump must go, and we must make it happen. And I have literally article after article that can go up here from people saying pretty much the exact same thing. So essentially what we're about to witness now, Doug, in November, in my opinion and a lot of other people's opinion, is nothing short than a full-blown communist coup of the United States or a communist overthrow of the United States. If Trump wins the election, which I personally think he will, they're going to have a full-blown rebellion, as basically the individual said that was that I mentioned earlier in here, Michael Caputo.
Caputo
said,
yeah.
You need to buy up ammunition. You need to buy up ammunition. This is what's about to happen if he wins, because what's going to happen is they're already saying here, they're already priming the communists in America. If Trump wins, he won only by cheating.
Right.
Now, Biden, we already know that Biden is pretty much completely and total, like I said, he's a clown. You already have Pelosi and all these other groups that are trying to have the mail-in ballots, all these different aspects of ability to tamper and cheat in the election full hand. I mean, everywhere I go around Florida right now, there's Trump signs everywhere. I haven't seen Biden signs anywhere. There's no, I don't know anybody that's even voting for him. Everybody, even if it's a Democrat, like, this dude's a clown. I'm voting independent. So you already know that Biden has no essential following. And yet they're already saying now that if Biden wins, Trump's going to contest it. Well, yeah, he's probably going to contest it because we already know it's going to be probably blatant voter fraud. So here's what's happening. You have, if Trump wins, they're going to have a full-blown rebellion because Trump allegedly cheated. If Trump gets cheated out of the election and Biden wins, pretty much the only way they're going to make it win, he's going to contest it and they're going to say, okay, now we have to have a full-blown rebellion because Trump refused to basically leave the White House. Now, what's interesting is George Soros has been effectively funding a lot of this rebellion and communist agenda for years now. Talked about it multiple times. And I don't know, did you see the interview on Fox News with Newt Gingrich 2 days ago?
Yeah. In fact, if you want to, we can play it again.
I want you to play it again if you can. So I want people to realize how incredibly aggressive the propaganda and the ability to get information out there has gotten now, because there's so much rhetoric going on and people will say, well, Fox News, this dude, Fox News is owned by Disney. I mean,
and that enough said, you know, that
yeah,
should say
enough
everything.
Said. Right.
Yeah. And I want to go on record here to what you said earlier. And this is not, you know, hyperbole. This is not something that I'm saying for drama, but if there is to be caused a second civil war, not by us, not by the constitutional conservatives, then I want to, then I'll volunteer to fire the first shot and take out the first person if necessary. I'll volunteer. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that with any drama. I mean that. And that's not a threat to anyone. I get what I'm saying is, if we have to fight, I don't want this fight to be passed along to my children, my grandchildren. But I'll be damned if I'm going to let this country be turned from a constitutional republic into a communist shithole. Sorry about that. I guess you can bleep that out sometime, right? All right. Let's go ahead and let's watch this piece of crap. This film, video.
Whose lives have been destroyed by this violence.
Yeah, it's so true. They represent everybody, right? Speaker Gingrich, I know you have a final thought for us.
Yeah, look, the number one problem in almost all these cities is George Soros elected left-wing, anti-police, pro-criminal district attorneys who refuse to keep people locked up. Just yesterday, they put somebody back on the street who's wanted for two different murders in New York City. You cannot solve this problem. And both Harris and Biden have talked very proudly about what they call progressive district attorneys. Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money. And they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
I was going to say you get the last word, Speaker.
He paid for it. I mean, why can't we assess the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's verboten.
All right, Brigham.
To you.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I premature there. There was more awkward silence than we showed you, but yeah.
Verboten. Verboten.
I love that he used that word.
I know. And with that right there was so troubling to watch, to show you, and I said this before and people argue with me, that we pretty much have a state-run media now. And people are like, oh, no, it's independent, it's this. Nah, dude. When you break it down, let's break it down to brass tacks. Let's see who actually funds it, who pays for it, who continues to keep these talking heads in power and pushes them on mainstream media every single night. You dig down deep enough, you will find that it is the deep state. The deep state run media is continuing to push the propaganda. The fact that they cut him off and that girl flat out goes, we don't need to bring George Soros into this. Why? Why? He goes, you paid for it. Why can't we bring it up? Is it verboten? Is it forbidden? Meaning that was a reference to Germany, which is verboten. Can't talk about this. Verboten. No. We don't bring that up. We don't talk about it. We don't mention that name whatsoever. What's ironic, though, you can go here article after article after article. I got them on the website from St. Louis attorney Kim Gardner, the one that's trying to basically put felony charges on the couple that defended their home. She got a huge amount of money from George Soros' campaign to get her elected. District attorney and current candidates all across the country. Another one, basically, attorney Kim Fox, the one that was up in Chicago, the one that basically dismissed the case against Jesse Smollett when he pulled the whole, somebody put a noose around my neck. Complete and total fake lies that he put out, dismissed the whole charges. Another one, San Francisco District Attorney Chisi Bowden. Another beneficiary of Soros' contribution, Philadelphia DA Larry Krasner. Another one benefited from Soros' support, was elected after Soros put $1.45 million in a political action committee that supported him. Another one in Contra Costa County, California, District Attorney Diane Beckin, also backed by Soros, has now changed her office how police handle shootings. She also basically is now filing hate crime charges against Nicole Anderson and David Nelson, the white couple who allegedly got caught painting over a Black Lives mural. So charging them with hate crime. She's charging them with hate crime. Another one, an Orlando state attorney candidate, Mikel Warren, is also backed by a group linked to George Soros in her quest to fill the seat vacated by Aremus Alea. This goes on and on and on and on. You tie the money right back in to George Soros' little communist groups that he funnels tens of millions of dollars into every single year. He's getting these district attorneys elected. And Newt Gingrich, you know, I haven't always agreed with everything he said, but he nailed that on the button when he talked about that on Wednesday and said, this is what's really happening. Why do we have district attorneys getting money funneled by George Soros to get them in power? They're anti-police. They're pro-criminal. They're blatantly instituting and pushing a communist overthrow in this country. He didn't say that, but that's pretty much what he implied, the last section of that. Now, can't talk about that. We don't need to bring George Soros into this. You can tell those two girls blatantly had been told there are certain things you don't talk about on the air while you're on the air. George Soros is one of those names you do not bring up. Boom, gone. Shut it off. And that's exactly what they did. So when you tie all these things together, Doug, and you look at the millions of dollars George Soros has funneled into these district attorneys to make sure these criminals go wild, then you have the millions of dollars, they said over $80 million this year already, in these Soros-backed coalitions that are now preparing to do post-election day chaos if Trump wins or if he loses. They've already said it's in play. It doesn't matter. It's a lose-lose. You have all these things going on, and then you have Newt Gingrich bring it up on national television. They basically say you can't bring up George Soros. So all that being said, what I'm coming to the conclusion of is here. Everybody needs to get prepped. And I know I say that every single show, but I mean that very sincerely. There's a high probability by the end of this year, by coming November, we're going to see civil unrest unlike what we have ever witnessed here in the United States in this recent century. Unbelievable. And we already saw what happened. You know, one of the big leaders of the BLM movement, the terrorist group now that's tried to align themselves with African Americans and blacks, but is a blatant communist terrorist group. As we've seen, one of the leaders, she said, the Marxist group, these protests that are going on right now, she said, are a dress rehearsal. She said, it's a rehearsal. These are literally warm-up sessions on what they've been doing the last couple months. As I've said many times before, who pays for these groups? Because people go, oh, no, no, no. A lot of these people are mad. You know, they want to go out there and protest. Who pays for these groups? How do you feed thousands of people every single day? How do these people pay for their rent? How do they pay for their credit cards? How do they pay for their bills? How do they pay for all these fireworks and gas masks and tear gas and flashlights and all this stuff they're constantly using all the time? They can't have jobs. How do you go protest for 8-9 hours all night long until 6-7 o'clock in the morning and then go work? You can't. You can't have a job. People aren't working. They're being paid. That's the only function they could do and make money right now is to go be communist agitators. So get prepared. And that's why I've encouraged a lot of people in my neighborhoods, a lot of people around me, a lot of the friends I have. Make sure you know who's in your neighborhood, at least for the most part. At least have a group, 4 or 5 man fire team, security team. Let's put it that way. That way it doesn't sound as aggressive for all the people who get offended when I talk and flag me on YouTube. A 4-man security team, 4 or 5 man. That way you know your neighborhood, you know your areas. If you have to start basically securing off areas and setting up any type of roadblocks to get into your driveway or get up into a cul-de-sac, you know the people in that area. If you have 4 or 5 people at the end of a cul-de-sac and they're on the same page and they say, hey, listen, we're putting up barriers. This is a hard line right here. We're going to harden our defenses. We're going to make sure if people come in here, they do not pass this point. You have to have multiple stop gaps because a lot of times people go, oh, you know, well, if they come to my door, you know, I'm going to do this. Guys, I agree with you from a law standpoint and a defensive measure as far as if you're at your home and somebody breaks into your house, most states, that's castle doctrine. Florida, we're very, very clear about that. But the thing is, if you start having hundreds of people that start going in the suburbs and rioting and doing exactly what they did in downtown areas like Portland and Washington State and stuff like that, and they start going into neighborhoods and suburbs, you don't have the luxury of waiting till they kick your front door in. Because it's going to happen so fast with so many people, it doesn't matter what you're armed with, you're not going to be able to keep them out of your house, especially if they make multiple entry points in your home. You're going to have some type of defensive measure in your neighborhood, and that means knowing your neighbors, because everybody's going to be on the same page. If you have one nosy little person across the neighborhood that's a huge Biden supporter, you better know it, because there's a high probability they're going to turn you in. They're going to call law enforcement if you basically start having open carry of a firearm legally on your property to secure areas. They're going to try to get law enforcement involved immediately. This is one of the reasons why the communists have tried to push the red flag gun laws so aggressively over the last couple of years. I've talked about it in detail. Florida was one of the first states to get national publicity of this. Red flag gun laws are one of the most aggressive, egregious, anti-constitutional, pro-communist laws we've ever seen effect in the United States of America. They give the ability for law enforcement to get a judge to sign off to seize firearms from a law-abiding citizen based solely on speculation and on false allegations, or regular allegations, I should clear it up, from pretty much anybody. So now we're going to run into a point to where, what point do we draw the line in these neighborhoods? If we have to start securing areas, we start having law enforcement show up. We have to seize your weapons. No. Well, across the street, they're saying
we're going to have a problem, brother.
That's my point. So where's this line going to get drawn right here, Doug? Because this is about to put us in a very precarious situation. Because if you start having these roving groups of communists that are being funded by George Soros come out and say, Trump didn't win, he cheated. We're going to go ahead and we're going to make sure we show everybody Trump cheated. We're going to throw him out of office. If you have a Trump sign in your yard, we're going to start firebombing Molotov cops in the neighborhood they already like to do.
And I'm going to tell you what, not only do I have a Trump sign, I've got a big Trump sign, and I just ordered 2 Trump banners. And you know what? And I'm doing this to make a statement because I had a guy pass by my house, and I was out getting the mail. He slowed down. This is just this week. And I had a very small Trump sign from 2016 pointing out to the street. And he said, it's not the way, you know, you don't put it up that way, right? Okay, it's just not. So he slowed down. And he looked at the sign. He looked at me. And I thought, oh, boy, here we go, you know. And by the way, I carry wherever I'm carrying right now.
Of course. Right? Absolutely. So am I.
So I'm thinking, all right, you know, are we going to have a problem? You know, but he slowed down and he said, come here. He had a smile on his face. He said, you're making a statement, aren't you? And he said, I'm right there with you, man. Don't, you know, take it easy. He said, you're making a statement. I said, damn right I'm making a statement. But, yes, to your point, you know, I've talked to people. I can't. I don't want to put a Trump sign out. because they're gonna steal it. They're gonna bust it down. They're gonna throw things in my house, and I'm a target. It's no longer America when that happens. I'm sorry if you don't have the balls to put out a Trump sign, and maybe in your area it's bad. I'm sorry, man. I'm not living in this country where I have to fear putting a Trump sign or any sign. Any sign that's tasteful, respectful in my yard that I have to fear for my life. I'm not going to live like that. All right?
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you what, I may not win. They may take me out. They may start my house on fire. But God help those who try, because I'm going to take as many of you, you know, maggots out as I can before I go down. But anyway, that's just, go ahead. I didn't mean to get off on that. Go ahead.
No, it's well said, Doug. And you made a very valid point, because, you know, a lot of times people are, you know, I've had my own differences with Trump. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of stuff he's done that I've not been a huge fan of whatsoever. There's been many things that I wish he would have done that he's completely ignored, which I found very, very disappointing. But you made a valid point. When we reach a point in the United States when you can't even put a tasteful sign up in your yard and not have fear of reprisal, that says something about the current state of affairs with the United States of America. Just putting that out there. If you really feel like, man, I support him, but dude, if I put a sign out, man, I'm going to have to deal with eggings. I'm going to have to deal with people trying to steal it. I'm going to have to deal with people defecating in my driveway. And that's why I've been very, very candid. All my neighbors know I have almost a 20 camera system that not only is on a battery backup, that's backed up to a generator backup that's also connected to the internet that I can watch all the time, that also has a 45-day DVR connected to it, backed up to the generator and the battery backup. So at any point in time, for as long as I see fit, I can rewind my cameras and watch every single angle around my entire property. And a lot of times people come over and they're like, gosh, you got a lot of cameras on your house. I said, compared to what? Compared to what? Compared to the White House? No, I have a small amount of cameras compared to the White House. I said, well, for, you know, a residential area. I said, why? What deems having too many cameras I can have? They said, well, you're paranoid. I said, I'm paranoid? I said, because I like to keep an eye on my property and my family and my well-being and everything that I've worked unbelievably hard for the last decade of my life. That's paranoid? No. I said, it shows you the current state of affairs that we've now found ourselves in the United States in 2020. Did I even have the need to have to put that many cameras up? Because so many people act like complete and total lunatics when they don't get their way anymore. I said, we've primed the culture to act like this because the media has encouraged it, and not only encouraged it, they blatantly endorsed it to show everybody, hey, listen, it's okay when you don't get your way. You can just pitch a fit. You can Molotov cocktail a building. You can break into stores and steal their stuff. It's okay. The media has been 100% complicit. That's why I told you. All of mainstream media is communist controlled now. It's a state controlled media. Whether or not the actual U.S. government and the White House controls it, or we have the CIA deep state. We already know a huge aspect of CNN was funded and controlled with actors and people out of the CIA. We already know that. So when you start looking at what's really going on, you have to ask yourself a question. How far am I willing to go to take what I believe and my convictions? Like you said, if we know that this is the last stepping stone, if we know these clowns in November, basically they're all in. They're all in. They put all their cards on the table. They said, we're all in. Chips are in. If Trump loses, it's because he cheated. If Trump loses, or if he wins, it's because he cheated. If Trump loses, it's because Biden won and Trump's not going to concede, because we pretty much know Biden cheated. It doesn't matter. Either direction it goes, we're going to find ourselves in a very aggressive state of affairs in the next 2 months. And so that only brings me to the next section. Get ready. Make sure you're keeping your children in the Bible, making sure you're not allowing them to watch a bunch of filth and garbage on television, making sure you're keeping your family actively trained on defensive mechanisms on how to take care of your house, how to defend your house, on protocols. If you start having a breach or a home invasion, that's a big one that a lot of parents forget to realize with their children, with their family, how to handle a situation if it arises. People think, well, I'm going to do this. If you're woken up by 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning by an alarm or somebody breaking in or somebody trying to force entry into a place, It's very disturbing. It's not something you just, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. Let me check my checklist. We're going to do this, 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 this. We're ready to go. No, you're wide-eyed, trying to figure out where you're at, grabbing a firearm, making sure you're keeping it at a low ready and not flagging anybody in the house.
Let me tell you something, Austin. I don't know if I told you this or not. It was about, Friday nights ago. That happened to me. My alarm went off, my perimeter alarm of my house. And you talk about learning a lesson. I mean, I learned a lot of lessons that night. Almost exactly 3 a.m. And first of all, it got me out of a dead sleep. Okay. I mean, a dead, dead sleep. And, I had a weapon at the ready, but where do you go? You better make sure you know which part of the perimeter was breached. I had no clue. And I recounted the story, but you are absolutely right. You think it's going to go one way, man. Good night. Ain't going that way. Go ahead. I didn't mean to take your time. Go on.
No, that's well said. That's why you have to practice stuff and have some type of at least a live experience with it before it happens, you know? And I encourage people to do this. I haven't done this in a while, even myself. I'm probably going to do it here pretty soon. The wife hates it when I do it, but it's part of it, is I basically will randomly set the alarm for 2:28 a.m., wide open alarm, loud alarm, just obnoxious alarm. And wham, as soon as it goes off, I wake her up. She gets the kids. We grab the kids. We take them basically to a safe place in the house. I have a low ready. I sweep the house. I check everything. And basically, everybody's adrenaline's to the roof. You're absolutely tired and exhausted. And then you have to try to go back to bed. The reason why is you don't normally wake up at 2:30 a.m. with a loud noise and resort to your firearm. Example two, like this Saturday, tomorrow, I haven't had one of these classes in a while. One of my friends, last minute, Bat Defense out in Cocoa, invited me basically to a vehicle tactics class. And it practices as far as vehicle convoys and getting ambushed in vehicles and then basically shooting out of vehicles, windshield sides, and then deploying out of vehicles and basically getting a perimeter set up around the vehicle. I haven't done it in a while. Last time I did it, it gives you a headache. You know, a lot of people do not realize how unbelievably loud it is to discharge an AR or any type of rifle through a windshield in a vehicle. And so I encourage anybody, if you get the chance to operate in those levels, under those levels of stress and experience that, I highly encourage it. Because it's not something every day that you feel pressing a rifle round through a windshield and feeling the glass blow back and feeling the pressure on your head. And so once you experience it, it's not as shocking anymore. It's still not fun. It's never enjoyable. But you experience it and you go, okay, that's what that feels like now. So if you ever get caught in that situation, you're not, oh my gosh, what do I do right now? Do I do this? How is my bullet trajectory going to come out the windshield? How's my accuracy going to be? Do I need to try to continually punch the same hole? Do I need to try to get out of the vehicle? Because the truth is, you get caught in a vehicle in an ambush, that's a death trap. Once rounds start coming into the vehicle, you're pretty much done, especially once everything starts to splinter off. You got to try to figure out how to get out as quickly as possible if you cannot get the vehicle operable and moving. And so situations like that, I just encourage everybody right now, do the best you can. If you don't want to take a class, bring people over that you know, maybe somebody retired military, to kind of teach you aspects of your home, soft perimeters areas, easy breach points, what to do in a crisis or what to do in a situation that somebody tries to break into the home, how to lock down your property the best you can, how to handle situations, where elevated points that you can go, say it's a roof, a second story, a window, that you can get a bird's eye view of an elevated point of it. And I know this isn't a fun topic, this isn't something people really want to talk about, but we're reaching a point now in the next 4 to 8 weeks. We're going to have to start addressing this, even if it's not fun. And that also means making sure you're staying active and shape, making sure you're keeping your immune system with vitamin C and D3. We have some of the highest quality supplements we can produce. If you don't want to buy them from me, at least get high quality supplements from somewhere. I mean, we do the best we can at Health Masters to talk to people on the phone, to send information out, to send emails out the best we can. We try to wake people up, especially when it comes to health. And on top of that, make sure you're exercising. It's so important. You don't even necessarily have to go out and try to go do, 20 or 30 pull-ups and go run 5 miles. I'm not encouraging that. Do whatever's in your range of health. But even if it's just going out and walking around the block once a day, or waking up in the morning saying, hey, I'm going to do 4 or 5 push-ups this morning. I'm going to shoot for 10 push-ups by the end of the month. Getting active, because self-sufficiency and being resilient is one of the most effective tools you can have when the situation occurs. Because I'm old school with a lot of stuff, Doug. You know that. A constitutional republic and a well-formed militia is absolutely necessary to a free state. And the ability for people to come together and defend their friends, family, neighborhoods, and country is crucial. So long has America and the populace become so reliant on other people to protect them, take care of them, keep them healthy. This is why we're in the situation we are now with health in this country. Because it's always somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's responsibility. It's not my responsibility to take vitamin C, D3, and exercise. It's my doctor's responsibility to give me a medication because I have all these health problems. It's not my responsibility not to eat high fructose corn syrup or MSG or hydrogenated oil or try to keep my kids healthy. It's my pediatrician's responsibility to do that. I shouldn't be responsible for what I eat. That mindset, even though it sounds sarcastic when I say that, that mindset is so far prevalent in this country now, it's almost embarrassing. You have to start taking care of yourself and being ready for what's about to happen. The normalcy bias phase is over. It's completely over now. We're past that. We have no room to be in normalcy bias or cognitive dissonance, so to speak. We have to start waking up, and including waking up friends and family, stocking up on food buckets if you need them. We have more food buckets coming in. If you don't want to wait for the organic food buckets to come in, at least go to the store and start buying up, you know, canned foods or beans and rice, whatever you want to get some good quality though. Don't buy a bunch of crap food that's going to make you sick when you eat it, especially if you're used to eating healthy. These are important aspects, and I'm giving you guys the best advice I know how to do and that I follow in my same life, and that I talk to people and been around people that have been involved in it, that have been to these countries and deployed to these places, and they've told me the exact same things. And I've tried to compile notes and information and put stuff together all over the years to do the best I can to protect my family. And that's why I'm trying to share it with you guys right now, because we are reaching that tipping point in this country. There is going to be an attempted communist overthrow of this constitutional republic. By make no means about it. It is going to be attempted. Now, is it going to be successful? I don't think it will be. I think there's enough grit left in the American populace that we're going to be able to stand this. Now, does that mean it's never going to happen again? Absolutely not. That means it's going to be attempted again. It's going to be attempted again. The biggest thing is making sure we can show with all-out overwhelming force that we will not capitulate to a communist regime takeover of this country. They did it with the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. They held off for a little bit, and they finally capitulated. The biggest thing that you can do is be prepared and ready, mentally and physically, and have the standpoint as far as the backup supplements, the backup first aid, the backup food. Because if you're self-sufficient and you have people around you that know how to do stitches and do some type of medical work, you have vitamins to keep yourself healthy and keep blood sugar under control, you have enough food to be able to feed the family and friends and any other security detail that's there, it's very difficult to take over that area. We've already seen this in countries like Vietnam. They did not have anything to lose at that point. We came to take over their country. Let's just be honest on it. That's why Vietnam was such a debacle, and it continued to go on and on and on. They said, no, listen, you're not going to do this here. We're going to fight till everybody's dead or you leave. And that is the resilience that we have in this country right now. And we have to say, no, you will not have a communist overthrow of this country. If that means I have to stand my ground, so be it. But it will not be in vain. It will be for my conviction that I know to be true in my heart, and I will not fall back and say, hey, you know what? I don't want to deal with these guys anymore. I'm just going to give in. That's why I've been so adamant about the masks, Doug, because the masks are just another form of submission to get people to compliance into a new regime. The mask has zero impact on health unless you are wearing a true like M50 or A50 Avon gas mask, or you're wearing a true full N95 respirator. Anything other than that is a complete and total joke. So why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you don't want to have any blowback? Are you doing it because you don't want to have people look at you? Are you doing it just to be compliant, or you really think it's making a difference? Do it for the reason that you're convicted about, not because anybody else wants you to do it.
You know, if I can say this, look, Before people say that, you know, well, you're just anti-science or whatever. First of all, there is show me the science where masks actually work. Number one, in this instance with this particular virus, in this pandemic or plandemic, scandemic that we're in. But I'll just
exactly.
If you want to wear a mask, in my view, go ahead, but do it because you want to.
And exactly.
Not because a governor tells you to, or somebody in power without the authority, but has the power to tell you to. You know, I'm so sick and tired. I just want to throw this out there again. We have a restaurant here locally. It's Lori's Wild Ridge Restaurant, folks. They're on Facebook. And Lori's Wild Ridge Restaurant. I think it's Lories, or it's not the normal spelling of Lores. Anyway, the bottom line is, somebody had called the Board of Health Department on them. Okay. Because there were too many people in there, maybe they thought. And the Board of Health came down on them. And so they came out and said, look, we can't operate this way. We cannot operate with this fear of being shut down, being fined, the oppression. So we're going to shut down. And I'll tell you what, I'm going there tomorrow. I'll tell you, support them. Support restaurants and businesses like that. I don't know where I got off on that, how I got off on that. But the bottom line is, do things because you feel convicted that you're right, that you should do, not because what someone unconstitutionally mandates you to do. You're right.
That's exactly right. I've heard this argument too, because people say, well, you're a science denier. I'm like, I'm a science denier. This is coming from the same people that have said I'm a science denier, the same people that are like, well, unborn babies aren't real people. And, you know, if men want to menstruate and have children, they can do so. Oh, yeah. And by the way, you know, 2 + 2 = 5, because Common Core makes sense. If you have an argument or you don't agree with me, you're a white supremacist racist. These are the same people that pull the science card now. So they talk out of both sides of their mouth. I'm always open for a healthy debate. What I'm not open for is people that basically contradict themselves with every single incident that happens. If you're a true scientist and you can show me real true research that shows wearing a mask stops any and all penetration from a COVID-19 virus from entering your body or going out in the air and contracting it anywhere else, I'm very open to that research. There is none. That's the problem. And the same people that are running around saying you have to wear a mask, now they're saying, listen, it doesn't stop it. Now they're saying this. It slows the spread. Well, wasn't that the whole point of what we did back in March? 14 days, 4 weeks, you know, slow the spread so we don't overwhelm the ICU beds in the hospital. 8 months ago now. Well, we're way past that. 7, 8 months. What are we doing it for now? To slow the spread? So now we're trying to say you're wearing a mask to slow the spread, meaning everybody's going to eventually get it or get exposed to it. And now we have the CDC come out a week and a half ago and say basically, as us every other coronavirus, we're seeing very little to any reoccurrence of the virus of an individual that has recovered from it. Meaning if you caught COVID and then you tested positive and then you tested negative, there's very little, if any, reoccurrence of people catching it again. Meaning, guess what? Their bodies do what they're supposed to do. They caught the virus. They built antibodies to it naturally. They're immune to it now. So if that's the case, what are we slowing the spread for? What if the inevitable case is that everybody gets COVID at the end of the day and majority of people that get it are asymptomatic, they don't even know they have it, they have to test just to find out they have it, but we're trying to slow the spread, that's like saying, hey, you know what, we need to drag out the stomach bug in the house as long as possible. If everybody's going to get the stomach bug, we know everybody's going to get the stomach bug and throw up, we're going to try to spread it out for 4 to 5 months. So that way we have continual people in the house vomiting and throwing up as long as possible instead of, hey, everybody's got the stomach bug, get it out of your system, cleaned out in 2 or 3 days, get over it, you're done, get some water in your system to recover, and shut it down. That's what we've done most of the time when, you know, family's got stuff in the house. Trying to sit here and pretend that wearing a mask is going to somehow protect everybody is a lesson in just being naive. If you're saying, hey, I'm going to walk around in a N50 gas mask like me and my buddy Chase did at Publix a while back ago, and we walked around in full gas mask, and people looked at us funny. And we thought it was a joke, but then people actually were like, man, you know, those mass pile work a lot better than I do. We need to get those. And I'm like, gosh, right over your head, bro. Right over your head. This was a spoof and you took it seriously. And now I don't even know what to do with myself. So we're just walking around with gas masks and they're not comfortable. They're hot. And so it's ridiculous. We're done. I'm checking out. And so, but that being said, same thing you said, man. And what we're seeing now, this is interesting. Back to this article beginning of the week, a federal judge ruled on Monday. You probably saw this. Pennsylvania, he ruled that Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf and Secretary of Health Rachel Levine coronavirus orders, which shut down the state of Pennsylvania, closed businesses, limit gatherings, shut down churches, was unconstitutional.
Yeah.
U.S. District Judge William Stickman agreed with plaintiffs' claim that Wolf's business shutdown and stay-at-home orders violated certain unconstitutional rights. And in the article, the final write-up in the action on it, the U.S. United States District Court for the Western District of Pennsylvania, County of Butler versus Thomas W. Wolf, 66 pages.
Yep.
The last page on here, the conclusion, is a part that I find to be extremely exciting. I was very proud of this federal judge. He said, and I quote, "The solution to a national crisis can never be permitted to supersede the commitment to individual liberty that stands as the foundation of the American experiment. The Constitution cannot accept the concept of a new normal where the basic liberties of the people can be subordinated to the open-ended emergency mitigation measures. Rather, the Constitution sets certain lines that may not be crossed. Even in an emergency, actions taken by the defendants cross those lines. It is the duty of the court to declare those actions unconstitutional. Thus, consistent with the reasons set forth above, the court will enter judgment in favor of the plaintiffs." I was very excited to see this. Pennsylvania federal judge, same thing, gave him a standing ovation. I could not have written it better. I could not even have written it that well. The man's extremely educated in constitutional law. And I talked about on the show the other day, and I said, I want everybody to forward this out. I want everybody to look at this and realize this is what a United States judge is supposed to represent. There is nothing in the Constitution that gives the right of the governors of the state to come in and tell people they can't work, they can't eat, they can't have a livelihood, they can't worship God together, they can't do anything because there is some type of emergency that has now come about. Because the one thing that we've seen about this, Doug, that has been troubling me from the very beginning, when they started these emergency measures, and we said, we didn't know what was going on with COVID. You know, we were kind of curious. We're like, hey, okay, we're going to watch this. We know vitamin C and D3 is crucial. Hammer those. Let's focus on and see what's happening. The one thing I said from the very beginning is I said, once you start allowing emergency measures to supersede your constitutional rights and completely overtake your life, that ceases to be the point of freedom. There is no freedom left at that point. Because now at any point that time after, if there's an emergency, they now deem that they have the right to completely control your actions, your moves, where you go, what you say, what you think, how you spend your money, and how you work. And that, my friend, is not a constitutional republic. That is a full-blown tyrannical dictatorship. And that has no place in this country as long as I'm alive. And I know as long as you're alive too, Doug.
Amen. Amen to that. And I'm very proud of that judge as well. Now my question on that, could that – that's not the final say, obviously. Obviously, Wolf and, Cousin It, It is on the left as you're looking at that. and by the way, okay, that's Dr. Rachel Levine. Okay, that's Richard.
Now, correct, yes.
I refer to It as Dickless Levine. I'm really not sure, to be honest, because I haven't looked under the hood there, nor do I want to.
Richard,
yeah. So I don't know what sex that is. So let me get this straight. You got a science denier on the left, a denier of obviously a very confused, gender challenged, individual telling me, a resident of the Commonwealth, that I've got to, you know, shut down my business or wear a mask or do all this when that cousin, it can't even, it came to decide what gender it is.
But Walmart's good to go.
Oh, yeah.
So right, so is Amazon.
True.
You know, so is Sam's. All the businesses, and it's funny to me, you know, we watched this multi-trillion dollar theft for the American population, because we're all on the line for these, you know, $6-7 trillion now, whatever the number keeps running up to, the Fed bailing out the stock market. We're going to go $4 trillion in the stock market to keep it afloat. Well, that's natural. That's organic growth. And now we see what's happening, and all these businesses are still shutting down. All these people are going on welfare, going on unemployment, shutting down their companies. At the same time, you have Amazon, you have all these other companies now, these main companies that were told, you're essential, you can be open. They've grown exponentially. I mean, you have billionaire boys club, international banking clown, Jeff Bezos, whose net worth literally doubled in the past 6 months now during this COVID. Imagine that. The international banking boy that got a $600 million CIA cloud housing contract with no bid is all of a sudden becoming richer and richer and richer. And it's funny when people are like, oh no, Jeff Bezos did all that on his own. He did that. And I'm like, really? When's the last time you got offered a $600 million contract by the CIA to house their cloud servers? I have friends that are military contracting. They never even got the option to put bids in on those. How in the world do you justify that? How in the world do you see Amazon has an entire military contracting side on the back end of their website that most civilians don't even know about, and they get no bid contracts on a regular basis? Does not matter what the number is. They solicit X amount of tables, chairs. Amazon gets it. Bam. Delivery. This happens on a regular basis. This is what's going to happen. This is why I'm so anti-Amazon. I refuse to buy anything from them. I'm actively trying to pull all of our supplements we've had on Amazon for years off the website. We do our own fulfillment. We've never let Amazon touch it. But years ago, I put products on Amazon because there were a lot of customers who were so pro-Amazon, they had to buy them off Amazon. So I've increasingly tried to encourage people to buy them directly from us because Amazon gets 15% just for having them on their website. So I'm intentionally funding Amazon by having my supplements on there. It greatly contradicts my beliefs because Amazon is, I have said this before, and will be the giant global retail monopoly distributor in the near future if we continue to allow them to build this. I've watched a 1.1 million square foot Amazon facility built right off I-4, 5 miles down the road from my house, because of very, very corrupt county commissioners that we have. They're also realtors at the same time. Never understood that. Got huge kickbacks from this Amazon push. Now they're building 500 Cracker Box houses right beside the Amazon so they can pay their workers $15 an hour and help them with house subsidies so they can live right beside it. Amazon is designed to be exactly what they're supposed to be, a government-controlled communist retailer that will completely and totally throw out every single mom-and-pop company and put them on the street if given the ability to do so. They are the textbook of predatory pricing. I have called this out for years. I've given examples, and still it boggles my mind how many people continue to give Amazon their money every single day and buy swaths. I know some people, they don't do any shopping except Amazon. Everything they buy is off Amazon. They're good. It's cheap. They deliver it right to me. I said, cool. I guess your local store down the road, they don't care about your business. They don't want to stay in business. I said, what's going to happen when everybody in the market's out of business and Amazon now decides, hey, you know what? That $40 bottle that you bought, we're not going to sell it for $40 anymore because there's zero competition. We're going to sell it for $80 now. We're selling it for full MSRP. You know, we're not going to sell it for $2 above cost. What are you going to do? You're going to buy it from them because there's not going to be anybody else in the market. They are the textbook predatory pricing in the global online retail market. That's why I encourage everybody, if you can, stay local. If you even have to, go on eBay. Buy stuff from local people on eBay. eBay is almost all independent sellers on there. That's why I encourage people to buy off eBay. This is something that is not going to stop as long as people keep handing Amazon their money. And then we see the people that are supposed to continue to get richer, why the international bankers funnel trillions of dollars into the market via the Federal Reserve while they tell you and I our business isn't essential, but Amazon is essential and Walmart's essential. That is a serious problem that I have with this entire situation. It shows me, Doug, that I have nothing to do with slowing the curve or flattening the curve or slowing the spread or whatever stupid comment they want to come up with or slogan. It was all about shutting down companies, controlling the market, giving dictatorial power to people that never had it, never earned it, and were never given it, and then turning around and saying, these companies are essential because we say they're essential, and we're going to keep giving them money. That right there, again, is another communist overthrow of this country. We're watching it in full swing. It's time we stand our ground and continue to be vocal and stand by our convictions on this, Doug.
You know, here it is, Austin, the 18th of September, 2020. We've got 45 days until the election. And I sit right here behind the microphone with a very, very, very heavy heart. And I meant what I said earlier. You know, if I have to be the person that fires the first shot of the Second American Civil War for cause and, you know, in defense of liberty, in defense of our republic, and then so be it, because I'm not going to pass this cluster in, you know, to my children or grandchildren. It's just not going to happen. And if that's what God appoints me to do, then I'm going to do it. But again, in this last 45 days, I think that we are going to be forced to make a lot of decisions. You and I, folks, people who watch and listen to this show. But one easy decision to make, and I'm asking you to do this. You know, here I sit again. We're trying to get information out to everyone. And by the way, we've got shows planned. We're really going to knock your socks off if we can get them out and to the public. But it takes money to do this. There's a couple of ways you can support us directly, or you can, if you don't want to do that. And a lot of people say, you know what? No, cause I don't know. You can go, you might be taking the money and spending it on blow, you know, or hookers and crack or whatever. Who knows? Okay. So do it this way. That's fine. Go to Health Masters. And purchase your nutritional supplements from Health Masters, because you know what? And I'm not getting paid to say this. They're the best on the market, and your purchase does help us stay on the air. It's simple as that. So if you want to help us, then go to Health Masters. If you don't want to help us, you can still go to Health Masters. And I'll tell you why. They've got, the best on the market. And with what's out there, all this bug out there, but plus the, maybe who knows what, whatever they're going to release again or differently. You need your immune system to be built up, and you can do it. Don't rely on some doctor to tell you, hey, do you know that you got high blood sugar and you got to eat better and you got to lose like 300 pounds? You know, look, I get that. I get it because I've been there. Healthmasters.com is the place to go. This is the only place that we buy our nutritional supplements for the entire Hagman family and the entire studio, the vast studio audience. Every one of our vast studio audience members out here buy from Health Masters. Okay. Yeah, we don't have, but you get the idea. So HR5 is the coupon code. You would recommend, obviously, to really get good for what's coming. You'd recommend the ultimate multiple, right? Because that's what I tell you what, that's good. That's good.
Always a standard. Yeah.
All right.
Ultimate multiple, you know, vitamin C, D3, those are the basic ones right there. You know, the basic healthy lifestyle kit, that's the kit we put together that includes all of those in it, already at a discounted rate as well. That's something that's simplistic to go up with. Now, if you're curious and you want to look at other stuff, like you said, blood sugar with cinnamon extract, other nutrients, other kits, there's all kinds of options. Feel free to give us a call, but keep it simple if you need to. Keep it basic. I know some people get overwhelmed. I don't like to feel overwhelmed. I know a lot of people don't. Keep it simple. Stay with a basic couple supplements. These supplements are so strong. They do effective. I mean, they do wonders. And so, again, continue to just get where you need to get as far as get your head right, get your mood right, get your body right, get your energy right, get your immune system right, and get prepped for this. Because, you know, if you are a true patriotic American, at some point in time, you know, in generation after generation, we get called on to defend our family, our friends, our loved ones, and our country. It's just part of it. The problem is this generation has gotten very complacent because we've had very little conflict on the soil ever. So we're kind of like, you know what? It doesn't happen here. We're in America. We're spoiled. I like to eat my Doritos and diet soda while I watch Kim Kardashian's butt. I'm being sarcastic. But that's what a lot of Americans like to do. And so it's past that point in time. It's time to get ready. It's time to wake up. It's time to stay prepped up.
Amen. Healthmasters.com is the place to go. And I want to tell everyone, too, to listen to Ted and Austin Brower's show. You know, I don't have that privilege of having a father-son radio show anymore. Ted and Austin do. They make a great team. Austin, I'm just so proud of everything you've been doing and you and your father. I love to listen to your show, and I want to say thank you for everything that you put forth in the Ted and Austin Brower Show, as well as healthmasters.com. And I appreciate you coming on the show. I really do.
Thank you, Doug. Have a great weekend.
All right, folks, that'll do it for me tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you. I want to thank each and every one of you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for being who you are. And you're important to all of us. You are somebody. Good night.